Okay, so welcome to another session of the One Desire Fellowship, where we'll basically every Friday we are going to go through expounding on the gifts as we've been doing, courtesy of just looking at what the believer has and also looking at who they are in Christ. And we're just checking out various aspects of what is it that God has given to the believer and how do they get it out, right? So you have what God has given to the believer that has been documented. You can read about it in Ephesians 1 and then read also about the responsibility required of the believer in Ephesians 2. And you will notice that the Ephesians 3 basically speaks on, Paul speaks about his ministry and he outlines the role of the church in verse 10 very, very well. That you know the church is basically meant to reveal that multi-sided wisdom of God. And one of the things that we notice when we get to chapter 4, is that Paul now begins talking about responsibility, but he starts from the place of order, whereby he's basically speaking about the gifts. And as he speaks about the gifts of God, as he speaks about the gift of God, what you notice is that he begins to outline various categories that these particular gifts are in. And he begins in Ephesians 4 verse 11, and his gifts of Arik. He himself appointed, and that's Ephesians 4:11. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be disciples, which are special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, which are preachers of the gospel or traveling missionaries, some pastors who are shepherds of this flock, and teachers. And it's worth saying that each and every one of these gifts actually teaches. Primarily, all of these gifts are meant for teaching. And you do see that in verse 12. Basically, you find that his intention in Ephesians 4:12, he's talking about being referred to here as Christ. And he says that his intention was the perfecting, right? Which is the katatismos. We actually looked at that word last time that we had the session. And that word means to bring to a condition of fitness. Basically, to properly, to exact, like it's an exact adjustment, which describes how or enables the individual parts to work together in correct order. Basically, it is an intentional working, whereby someone bringing something to a condition of fitness means that this thing that is being brought to this condition of fitness is not there in the beginning, right? So you start with the journey of the believer. So the believer has received Christ, and receiving the life of Christ means that the believer has been co-opted into a family of God, and they have been given the ability to express the life of Christ. But you find that the believer has to go through a couple of stages. Basically, the believer first needs the exposure of the right knowledge, right? And then the understanding, they'll gain understanding, and then the wisdom to apply that will also follow. So you find that in order to bring to a condition of fitness, these gifts have been given. People who carry these gifts, men who have been given these gifts, people who have been given these gifts, have been given these gifts for the intention, sole intention of perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, which are his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Right? So we understand now that the reason why God would give, or rather why God would actually allow men to have these particular gifts, remember that he ascended and then he gave gifts to men, it's for the purpose of ministry. And ministry, the Greek word that we saw was diakonia, which basically means active service done with a willing, voluntary attitude. And specifically refers to spirit-empowered service guided by faith. And basically, this is something that has a willingness to it, whereby you give yourself, you are brought up to understand what you have in Christ and the responsibility that you also carry. So today I wanted us to go to Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And what we're going to see, I mean, not 62, but we're going to just read from verse 57 and to verse 62. And you'll see how it actually relates. As I say, all scripture is God-breathed. So we'll just see how that relates with that aspect of equipping. So remember, Paul, there was no gospel when Paul was writing this. I mean, the gospels came a lot later than the epistles. There was no gospel. So he read the Old Testament and he received revelation concerning what had happened to the believer. And that is what he documented. Basically, Paul goes into revealing these things that were types and shadows and now tells us that, hey, this is what has happened to you. This is what you now have as a believer. And we begin to see something that whenever someone has been given a certain gift, there's usually a period through which they have to go. And it's a mandatory period. People call it process, consecration. But basically, it's a time period of training, of being equipped, actually, as Paul would say, whereby you are brought up to master the understanding of that gift, right? So you can flow in a variety, but predominantly, because, again, the life of man is not that long on earth, you have to specialize. Like, there's a specialty. There's something that you will have a specialty in, like one or two. But in most cases, you mostly see, like, you know people for a predominant one. So in this case, can say, like, yeah, a couple can manifest depending on the situation, but you'll always know that this person actually is predominant in this particular gift. And what you notice is, in that particular gift, someone has to choose to embrace it and to walk in it. Someone has to choose to be an apostle, right? So you can be told that you have this in you, right? Remember, a gift will tell another gift. A gift will actually look at the believer and tell you that, hey, by the way, you have this, right? Like, this is actually your portion. This is actually how you contribute. This is the gateway, right? If you look at the gift as a gateway, that this is the gateway through which you competently build up the body. This is how you teach. These are the gracings associated with the empowerment associated with this particular, like, this is what you are empowered with to teach. And this is what you have been given. This is what you have been accorded by the in the divine ordinance of God, right? Because it said, like, the Spirit distributes them as he pleases. So you find that you did not choose, you know, like, you don't wake up and then you say, I choose to be X, right? Because if you choose to be X, as you say, Christ gave gifts to men. Now, if he gave gifts to men, right, how did he give these particular gifts to men? Yet we know that Christ, quote unquote, when Paul is referring to Christ, he's like, hold on, aren't you referring to someone who rose from the dead and kind of left? But then you find no, because you find that Christ, he said that I go so that I come, right? That he that went, he that ascended is he that, he that descended is also he that ascended. And you find that Christ lives in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Basically, Christ is in the life of the believer, courtesy of the Holy Spirit. Like, basically, the Holy Spirit is a form that Jesus, God now takes in the believer. That's how you are told you have the Godhead within you. So when you say that we have, and if you want to just clarify that, you can check out the first verses in chapter 4. Whereby we are told there is one body, you know, there is and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Basically meaning that there is a unification that you have, what all of us have, is given by the same person. Which means if it is given by the same person who gave it sets the agenda for what he has given. and they are distributed according to the pleasure of God, right? So meaning, you can admire what someone has, right? I can admire, assuming, okay, you're a teacher, evangelist, and then as in, you can admire the prophetic, right? It can even start working in your life, courtesy of that. But the thing is, you find that you may not be able to walk in that particular gift predominantly. You may not be able to walk in that particular gift predominantly. It may not be the predominant thing, but every believer has a capacity to prophesy. But you may find that there's a level of inspiration that is accorded to someone else, courtesy of the goodness of God. Like, basically, it is the goodness of God that distributes this evenly across the people so that we all have to submit to one another, that every joint can be able to supply. We find that we are not able to supply effectively if, one, we don't discern what we have. And before you even discern what you have, you have to sit in a fellowship or community of believers, and there they will actually discern what you have, either in prayer, and it may be shared out to, or in practice, right? You'll do something and someone will actually say, hey, I think you have this gift in you. And they'll basically be able to spot it out and say that, hey, come on, as in, this is what you have. I think that you really, really work strong in this. And you need to understand that there's no gift which is less than the other, right? Like, the order in which they were written does not mean that, oh, because you ended with teacher, you know, apostle is higher, and then prophet is second, you know, and then there's evangelist, and then pastor. No, Paul just listed them out. Paul just said, because the one thing that we know is the revelation that the church is built on, or the doctrine of Christ is built on, which is life, death, resurrection. I mean, life, the life, death, burial, resurrection of Christ is built on the foundational doctrine of the apostle and the prophets. And when they say the prophets, they mean the Old Testament prophets that prophesied of the coming of Christ, and the apostles who revealed what happened, who testified and wrote and documented what Christ has given. Basically, they set the doctrinal foundation for the church. That's why you say it is built on those two, right? Now, understand this. The gifts now take us into these places of doctrine, and they give life. They basically extract life from this, from the text, and they shower the church. Essentially, they are able to wash the body. They are able to mature the body using this. So if we read Luke 9 from 57 to 62, something we'll actually understand about gifts over here. So it says, and it occurred, in fact, the title in the KJV is actually Would-Be Disciples. And what happened here is that Jesus was basically just walking along, and he describes scenarios in which people would give excuses for not following. And it occurred, as they were going along the road, a man said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus told him, foxes have lurking holes, and the birds of the air have roosts and nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another, become my disciple, side with my party and accompany me. So basically, Christ actually invited someone. And he said, but he replied, Lord, permit me first to go and bury, await the death of my father. Verse 60 says, but Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and publish abroad throughout all the regions the kingdom of God, right? 61 says, another also said, I will follow you, Lord, and become your disciple and side with your party. But let me first say goodbye to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand, and this is essentially what I wanted to get to, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, in brackets, to the things behind, is fit for the kingdom of God. So one thing we need to understand is this. When the gifts of God, when these gifts are perfecting, the work they're doing, part of the work that they're doing, because we'll basically just discuss, start discussing in that direction as we even read the entire chapter. Part of the work they're doing is keeping a focus and raising a desire for people to remain connected and remain very, very sober with regards to things of the kingdom. If a person with any of these gifts is teaching, and their teaching does not inspire you to stay in the faith, their teaching does not inspire growth in the faith, their teaching does not inspire sacrifice for the faith. I know it's a word people don't like listening, but they don't inspire sacrifice for the faith. Basically, a willingness to actually go out of your way to do things for the expansion of the kingdom. If they do not do that, then that person either has corrupted, has not understood what the gift has, or basically has walked in a level of error and misunderstanding with relation to the gift. You need to understand that the multi-sided wisdom of God, when revealed to a believer, causes one to actually count the cost and understand that, by the way, you know what? I have actually been, as in the faith that I have is meant to be shared. And what you understand is when Jesus, who is ideally, if I may say, the chief apostle, prophet, because he had, these gifts came from him, then he's the chief of them all. The chief teacher was saying is basically, if you have received the gift of God, and you have, as in you have received the gift, or since you have received the gift of God, one thing that you need to understand is that you cannot afford to look back, or rather to consider other things. In other words, you cannot begin to now try and balance certain ambitions on top of the demands of the gift. These gifts all have demands on whomever they have. The demands of those gifts usually lead the people the people who have the gifts, which is each of us, by the way. Don't think that because you've never been told. Ideally, everyone possesses one of these, right? It's just a matter of growing and discovery. Like, you can't be in the middle. For example, you can't say, oh yeah, I'm just gifted in administration. I'm like, hold on, that one was not given by, it is just it says some are gifted in, right? I know where Paul wrote that, right? But it says some are gifted with, you know, some are gifted with hospitality, some are gifted with. But then when you look at this, you look at the gifts that, when you look at those gifts, you look at the gifts that God gave for the perfecting of the body, right? The gifts which are useful for the administration of things within the house of God, right? And also where it concerns believers. There are things that people can administer when it comes to your house of worship setting. There are things that people can flourish in when it comes to your fellowship setting. But one thing you understand is that the primary ways that God actually said, that Paul actually reveals, that doctrinally, these are the entry points via which people were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you understand that one man perfects another. And for you to grow in this, the cost counted, you can just check out Luke 9, 4, verse 57 to 62, is ideally one, the cost counted of flowing and walking in this particular gift is that one, you have to be someone who if I look at the first the first person, you have to consider that you will, in most cases, as in when Jesus was saying, Jesus told him, foxes have lurking holes at the birds, or they have roosts and nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, in relation to, you know, I'll follow you where you go. You need to understand that you may not understand where, like, you may not have a full picture all the time. You may be find yourself being led in a certain direction. You'll have to get used to unfamiliarity, right? Another thing is, you also have to get used to detachment from things quite quickly, in that you cannot be a quote-unquote a hoarder, you know, of things. You cannot be at a place, and then you cannot grow comfortable quickly. Because one thing you understand is the demand placed, or rather the nature, the demand placed on someone who's functioning in these gifts and flourishing ideally in them, is that one thing, they have to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. The other thing is, this person was told, you know, become my disciple, that this kind of call was made. And he said, you know, wait, let me go and do this one thing. You have to understand that there is an inconvenience that comes when you have been called to walk in one of these gifts, as we all have. When you discover, when you understand, when you hit that point of understanding that, oh my gosh, yes, this is actually in me, and you agree, you'll understand that you're committing yourself to a life whereby your decisions will essentially be misunderstood. So if you look at this person, he's saying, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go. And you're wondering, okay, is that insensitivity towards family, you know, or something of the sort? No, it's basically addressing societal norms, religious norms, things, societal meaning even family norms. Jesus is basically saying that, hey, if you want to actually perfect this thing, you're going to need to have to go against the grain. You're going to need to be deaf to those particular norms. Another one is now the final one, when Jesus said, also said, I will follow you, Lord, become your disciple and sign with your party. But let me first say goodbye to those at my call. And Jesus said to him, no one, you know, because, you know, but first let me go and do this one thing. And he said, you know, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back. And he says, it doesn't say that you cannot get saved, right? It doesn't say that you can't get saved. It says that your fitness, your equipping will be tampered with. Because if you're someone who is easily distracted by the things, or rather the desires, the ambitions that the world offers, basically, the desires that the world offers, you're going to find gaps. And you're always going to be limited in how much you can actually function and walk in this particular gifts that God has given to edify. So you find that, yes, people have been called. But the thing is, you also find that, okay, fine, someone can be said, yeah, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But you also understand that people choose how far they want to go in the understanding and in the embodiment of these particular gifts. Basically, you find that when one commits themselves more, when one decides that I will actually take the journey, and it's hard or soft, you know, I'll actually decide to be focused, I will be willing to give myself to this, it'll entail first serving someone else, right? And as you serve someone else, in this case, the disciples were serving the desires of Christ, because he was in the flesh, you will end up serving the desires that are, and I said, when desire is not a church, we equip people to serve in their churches. You will find that you will need to serve the desires that are in your local church first, right? You need to meet the burden within your local church for you to start flourishing in these gifts. Basically, if you don't take up the burden that is within your local church, if you actually don't take up the burden that is within your fellowship setting, you find that you will actually be lacking in an aspect without knowing. In this way, if a task, a burden is there, you know, a task needs to be done. It is not related, you know, the way you're trained for this is that you're trained in your gift using things that don't appear to relate to that expression. You're trained in a manner that you can't even make sense of it. You're trained using methods or problems that don't even appear remotely related to the subject. You know, you wish that, hey, I wish I could just go somewhere and sit and, you know, tell me how I'd grow in this particular thing. No. But you're trained using circumstances that don't even appear like they're working out that which is in you, but they are. You know, in the famous movie, can actually go and watch, is The Karate Kid, whereby the master is actually telling this person to, you know, wax the car. And as the master, Miyagi, I think, is telling the Karate Kid, as it, you know, wax the car. And the kid is wondering, no, I wanted to learn how to fight. I wanted to learn how to defend myself. But then this master is like, I'm telling you, wash the car. I'm telling you, wipe the window. Because that repetitive action of wiping was actually working on a certain maneuver, which I think was blocking or something of the sort. And it's basically the thing that we need to understand, that as we begin to understand what gifts you have, or rather as you begin to grow in the knowledge of Christ, you will find yourself being, you'll find yourself in positions whereby these gifts are basically being called out of you. You've been in situations whereby the demand of these gifts will be called out. The thing is, those situations may not even look like they are doing that, but they are. They are placing a demand. Because the perfecting of the saints, basically, I can't go through the perfecting that someone who's meant to be who's meant to function in the apostle gifts will go through, right? The same as the evangelist, the same as the prophet, pastor, teacher, all of us will go through different. Essentially, if you're meant to function in this thing really, really well, for it to be used in the work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And in verse 13, it says, Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come to the unity, in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Basically, by the time you come to the place whereby you are ready to perfect, or you are ready to actually build someone intentionally, where you're now ready to... Literally, as institutions are put in a place whereby you've been shown that you're ready to actually go out and perform catechismos. You know, the idea is that it has first been done in you. That the first thing is you've been brought to a condition of fitness. Even at this point, no one ever stops learning, right? You always learn. You're always learning. You're always learning. But you get to a point whereby you have understood what it takes to follow, what it takes to be fit. And once you get to that point and you're willing and you're ready, then you begin to actually see yourselves you begin to see that the rich deposit that God has given to you and put in you just flows naturally out of you without struggle. Basically, as in, once you actually put yourself and say that, hey, you know what, God, I've actually understood that, okay, I'm in my local church. This is how I'm supposed to serve. This is why I'm supposed to serve. I want to understand what is in me. If I want to understand that, fine, I may be doing, you may be serving in whatever department, you pick one, or maybe not serving. And you're wondering, like, you know, is there anything more beyond this? And as you continue to serve diligently, it appears non-related to what you've been called for. But the things in that service, in those demands of those service, that are basically teaching you something. And as you go from level to level to level, you'll begin to understand. So at that point, I'll actually finish. Today's session wasn't going to be particularly long, but basically we'll continue next week. And yeah, just continue learning about the gift of God and understanding how, you know, why are you perfecting still? Perfecting till we all come in the unity of faith. What is the unity of faith? It's not some, it felt like we needed some sort of like aging, and then now we can go into like a new concept, just to wrap up at least the aspect of the gifts. But we'll discuss basically the aspect of unity and also tie it to some things that Paul has said in Ephesians 3. But yeah, at that point, we're done. So yeah, any reactions, comments? On the chat. Okay, I guess with that we can close and head out for the evening. So you have a nice night.